Goedemorgen
en heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. Het worden vier spannende weken, of misschien moet ik het zo zeggen, hele mooie weken, want John Maxwell gaat preken en spreken over het leven van Jozef. Dat fascinerende leven van die bekende Bijbelse figuur die als jong in de put werd gegooid. Zijn broers dachten, hij is niet meer terug te vinden. En dan wordt hij notabene onderkoning van Egypte en redt zijn hele familie daardoor. Nou, een man die ook de rol van Jozef bijna speelde in de musical, is hier vanmorgen te gast. Hij zingt nu in Los Angeles The Voices samen met Gordon. En hij komt zingen op ons concert in Gouda over een paar weken. 28 april, Remco Harms. Remco, ja. Goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen.
Vind je het leuk om te komen zingen?
Ontzettend leuk.
Ja?
Ja, was ik heel blij mee.
Oké. Okay. Ja. Jij houdt van gospel.
Ja.
Je zingt ook het moderne eigentijds lied. Daar ga ik zo meteen met jou over praten. Maar eerst gaan we naar de Crystal Cathedral. En daar is onder andere Michael Francesi te gast. Italiaans klinkende naam, dat is ook terecht. En hij was een zeer beruchte maffialeider. Totdat hij opgepakt werd en in de gevangenis terecht kwam. En wat daar gebeurde, dat hoor je zo meteen in de Crystal Cathedral. En ik noem hem al John Maxwell, met de eerste van een serie preken over Jozef. En als je nog nooit John Maxwell hebt gezien, ga niet weg, blijf kijken. Die kan zo fantastisch vertellen. En veel muziek ook. Onder andere It Is Well With My Soul. Dat gaat Remco straks zingen. En veel muziek. Hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power.
The day that God has made. Hallelujah. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, Lord. It's a beautiful day because you opened our eyes and you've opened our minds as we step into your house, and we are receptive. We will be open to the ideas that come from Jesus. This truly is a glorious gift. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you.
may be seated, is the cross the single most prominent symbol on planet Earth today? What made Jesus Christ the success that he was and is? Because when people read what he said and listen to his claims, they could not argue with him. No one can debate with Jesus and win. Hear what he said. I am the light of the world. All who follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the bread of life. All who come to me shall never hunger, and all who believe in me shall never thirst. I am the door. If they enter by me, they will be saved. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I am the resurrection and the life. All who believe in me, though they may die, they shall live. May God bless these words spoken by Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, choir. He was once the target of multiple city, state, and federal law enforcement agencies. His name was targeted for assassination by the mob. Tom Brokaw called him the Prince of the Mafia. He was the Mafia's youngest and most financially powerful new superstar. The son of legendary Colombo family underboss, John Sonny Franzese. His criminal empire earned $6 to $8 million a week, making him one of the biggest money earners for organized crime since Al Capone. That was then. Today he is a new person in Christ. And he's using his life lessons to help others. Michael Franzese.
Thank you, Dr. Stern. Thank you.
Well, what was your life like 30 years ago?
Well, certainly a lot different than it is today. You know, I grew up in that life. My dad was the underboss of the Colombo crime family, and about 30 years ago was about 2 years after I became a member and was inducted myself. So I was, you know, hardcore, Dr. Shuler, and fully entrenched in the mob life.
And they inducted you. How did they do that?
There's a very solemn ceremony that takes place. For me, it was on Halloween night, 1975. It was myself and five other gentlemen. We went into a room. It was late at night, and the hierarchy of the family, the boss was there, and all of the captains, capo regimes. And I entered the room, and the boss was seated at the head of like a horseshoe configuration. All the captains were alongside of him. I went in front of the boss, held out my hand. He took a knife, cut my finger. Some blood dropped on the floor. And then I cupped my hands, and he took a picture of a saint, the Catholic altar card, put it on my hands, and lit it aflame. And it didn't hurt. It burned quickly. It was merely symbolic. And he said, tonight, Michael Franzese, you are being born again into a new life, into La Cosa Nostra. And if you violate what you know about this life or betray the family, then you're going to die and burn in hell like the saint is burning in your hands.
Well, what was life like for you? You became a member of the family. What was it like?
You know, it was, you know, Dr. Shule, I got to admit, I mean, I lived every day of my life in violation of the laws of God and the laws of man. I mean, you're in that life. It's a criminal lifestyle. You have a whole different mindset. You kind of justify the things that you were doing because I grew up in that, and it's what I saw my dad do before me. And it was a very difficult life. I mean, you're always worried about law enforcement on one end and your own people on the other. And I became a major target of law enforcement, was actually indicted and went to trial five times in my life. Rudy Giuliani indicted me on a big case back in 85, and I was fortunately acquitted. I wouldn't be here today. He told me in the courtroom, if I convict you, you're going to get 100 years on this case. And I was acquitted after a lengthy trial. And, you know, it's a very treacherous life. And it's if you survive that life and die of old age and die free, you've really accomplished something.
Wow. Well, what did you do day to day, week to week, to carry out the crimes?
Well, you know, I was in business, and I was in some of the traditional gambling businesses and you know, loan sharking and things like that. But I had a lot of legitimate business, too. I knew how to use that life to benefit me in business. Went on to make a lot of money, and in that life, if you make money, it translates to power. So I became they were slating me to be the next boss of the family. And that was my life kind of every day. You know, I was very much involved. I had a number of soldiers underneath me, and it was just a lot of work. I worked 18 hours a day in that life. But, you know, something happened among many things that I was doing. I was producing films back in the mid-80s, and it was on a film set that my life kind of changed, and God kind of called out to me.
What happened to change you from that hell of a life to what is a true Christian life today? How do you get from that to this?
Well, it's only through God's power. I was producing a movie, and we were producing it in South Florida, and we brought 50 dancers in from L.A., and one young dancer from Anaheim, actually, was dancing on the set, and I saw her by the pool one day, and I was just, it was like a Pepsi commercial. Everything went in slow motion for me when I saw her get out of the pool. And as it turns out, she was a young Christian girl, and God certainly used her to introduce me to Christ and change my life.
What's the difference in your life since you accepted Christ?
You know, it wasn't only accepting. I accepted Christ early on, but never surrendered to him. And I ended up doing 8 years in prison, and in the last 3 years, they had me in solitary. I was in the hole. And it was during that time that I surrendered to Jesus and really understood what that meant, turned my life over to him. And when I got out of jail, he just kind of took me by the hand and led me on the course that I'm on now. And I've just become, I firmly believe in him. He's saved my life. He's protected me. And everybody predicted my death, everybody from Giuliani on down. And I believe God had a different plan and purpose for me.
You could have been assassinated.
Well, there's been a contract on my life, and, you know, like I said, I don't worry myself about it now because I think God had different plans for me. You know, I realize every day how blessed I am. My dad is 92 years old. He just got out of prison on Christmas Eve.
92?
92.
How long was he in prison?
33 years he spent in there. And sadly enough, he's under indictment again because he's still involved in that life, and my brother is actually in trouble and in that life, and I get reminded every day of just how blessed I am to be away from that and to be free and to be able to enjoy my family and do what I'm doing now. So I'm reminded every day. And I was very, very motivated and impressed by Solomon in Proverbs when I was in prison, and I tried to work my life around Solomon's Proverbs. And it's really a contrast of how I did business the old way and how I live my life and how I try to do business and live my life today.
Wow. Well, what, you've got a great audience around the world, in Russia, China, and, gosh, millions of people. And they're listening to you. You've been on the other side, the bad side, the criminal side, the mob. And you got out and you're still alive, which is a miracle.
Yes.
And look at those people. If you have one or two things to say to them, I would like to hear you say, let me tell you something.
Let me tell you this, no matter, for those people out there, and everybody's struggling with something, and I always tell people, no matter how far you think you've fallen away from the Lord, no matter how bad you think your life was and how unworthy you might be, that the ground at the foot of the cross certainly is a level, and if God can save and use somebody like me, then there's certainly hope for anyone out there. And I encourage everybody, just make Jesus your best friend, and you got it made.
That's great. That's great. Thank you. We have the book at our bookstore. You can order it by calling us here. I'll make you an offer you can't refuse.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now it's my joy to welcome for the first time to the Crystal Cathedral, Marie Barlow Martin. Marie has sung around the world, receiving accolades from Scotland to Japan, California to New York, everywhere in between. Her love for Jesus shines through her eyes and her voice. Let's give her a warm welcome as she comes to sing How Great Thou Art.
Then sing.
De zang van Mary Barlow Martin. En ze zong How Great Thou Art. In Nederland heel goed bekend als Hoe Groot Zijt Gij. Mijn volgende gast, die ken ik al heel lang. En dat gaat heel ver terug. Ik zat straks te denken. Ik ontmoette je op een vakantiepark in Frankrijk. Daar stonden we samen voor de wasbakken. En daar was je een beetje aan het zingen. En ik mocht de dag erop de preek doen.
Ja.
Voor 1600 mensen. En ik zei, joh, kom jij zingen?
Ja.
En daar kwam je en daar zong je. En ik was...
Was dat niet in een kerkje bovenop die berg?
Ja, ja.
Prachtig, hele mooie akoestiek.
Ja.
Zaal helemaal gevuld met mensen tot aan achteraan. Niet iedereen kon meer zitten.
Nee.
Ja, dat weet ik nog. Was leuk.
Ja. Daar zong je al het geestelijke lied. Want
ja.
We kennen jou nu als een van de beroemde zangers van Los Angeles The Voices. Waarvoor ga je zo blij lachen?
Nou, dat klinkt zo grappig. Een van de beroemde zangers van Los Angeles The Voices. Klinkt wel leuk ook eigenlijk. Omdat je zelf niet altijd doorhebt... hoe mensen tegen je aankijken. Hoe mensen tegen zo'n groep aankijken. En dat groeit heel erg. Maar daar ben ik zelf niet mee bezig.
Nee?
Nee. Omdat ik denk, ja, ik ben gewoon wie ik ben en ik doe mijn werk. Ik ben, als ik mezelf als mens zie, dan denk ik aan mijn familie. Aan de mensen die dicht bij me staan.
Ja.
En ik heb toevallig verschrikkelijk leuk werk.
Ja? Ja, ja, dat is leuk, hè?
Ja.
Zo, de zon schijnt in jouw leven.
Ja.
En zo af en toe gaat hij achter de wolken. Wat gebeurt er nou als je over een paar jaar... uitgezongen bent, dat kan gebeuren natuurlijk.
Ja, dat hoop ik niet. Want ik heb altijd gezegd, ik hoop dat ik tot mijn zestigste zou kunnen blijven zingen of zo. Ik weet wel dat als ik minder echt hoog in de showbiz zou zitten, dan zou ik weer meer met gospelmuziek bezig willen zijn.
Waarom gospel?
Omdat zodra er iets begint van muziek van gospel, dan kom ik zo dicht bij mezelf.
Ja.
En ik denk dat ik daarmee ook heel dicht bij God kom. En dat is gewoon een heel fijn gevoel. Als je die weg voor mij dan met muziek kan bewandelen samen met God.
Ja.
Snap je? Dat gaat zo snel dan bij mij.
Leuk dat je zo enthousiast bent over gospels. Dat is prachtig. Wat is je favoriet?
Ik heb er een aantal. En ik kom bij ieder interview als het hierover gaat weer bij David Phelps. Gentle Savior, It Is Well With My Soul, No More Night van hem. Dat zijn echt een aantal favorieten.
Je noemt een aantal liederen. En die ga je ook zingen op ons voorjaarsconcert. En ik vind het ongelooflijk leuk dat je erbij bent.
Waanzinnig.
Ja.
Dat jullie vroegen, kom jij meedoen? Dat ik dacht, oh, te gek. Ja. Ik kan.
Ja, ik belde je. En je zei gelijk van, oh, in mijn agenda kijk. Ja, ik kan, ik doe het.
Dus, ja, ik heb toevallig die week vrij. En ik dacht, oh, hoe heerlijker is het om dan om met gospelmuziek bezig te zijn. Ja. Helemaal goed.
Ja. Je gaat samen met Nina Whittaker zingen, met het Psalmproject, met begeleid door een fantastisch orkest.
Ja, de gospelmuziek is gewoon, gaat zo ver terug bij mij. Ja. En als je dan daarmee groots kan optreden. Ja. Ik ben natuurlijk naar jullie vorige concert ook geweest. En toen zat ik op de eerste rij gewoon met een traan over mijn wangen van, oeh, ik wil hier ook staan. En dan de keer daarna word je al gevraagd ervoor.
Jij hebt meegedaan aan een aantal musicals. Ja. En daar was je de rising star. Zoals Rembrandt de musical, Les Miserables, Jozef. Je hebt meegedaan op zoek naar Jozef. Hè? Dan was je een van de grote kanshebbers.
Ja.
Maar je werd het net niet.
Nee. En dan denk je op zo'n moment, oh nee, wat nou? Ben ik het niet geworden of ben ik niet ver genoeg gekomen of iets? En als je dan eventjes wacht, geduld hebt. En dan kan beseffen dat er iets beters of iets beters voor mij kan komen. Dan kan je daar weer rust in vinden. Ja. En dat is er gekomen. En ik ben nu echt precies aan het doen waarvoor ik het gevoel heb dat ik gemaakt ben.
Ja.
Zo zingen, echt mooi zingen met een. En dan nu in dit geval met een paar mannen.
Ik ga even terug naar Jozef. 3000 jaar geleden leefde die. Vandaag praten we erover in Hour of Power. Ja. Jij, maar zometeen over een paar minuten John Maxwell. Over het leven van die fascinerende jongen.
Ja.
Wat spreekt jou aan in Jozef?
Nou, ik denk het meeste nog wel weten dat je niet alleen bent als je in de put zit. Dat vind ik heel mooi.
Ja.
Als je het allemaal niet meer ziet zitten. En dan weten, terwijl je het niet voelt, maar weten dat God er is. En dat het weer beter kan worden.
Ja. Waarom ben je ontroerd?
Nou, omdat dat. Daar zing ik over, bijvoorbeeld alleen al. Het besef gewoon dat je dicht bij God kan zijn wanneer je wil. Waar dan ook, wanneer dan ook, hoe dan ook. Dat vind ik een heel rustgevend iets.
Ja.
En dat is denk ik een van de moeilijkste dingen om uit te leggen aan anderen.
Ja, probeer het eens.
Ja. Dat moet je ook voelen. Ik heb dat gewoon heel erg als ik zing.
Ja. Ik wou net zeggen, jij zingt het.
Ja.
He? Want bijvoorbeeld, ik ben blij dat je dat doet. Dat is fantastisch. It Is Well With My Soul.
Ja. Ik krijg kippenvel. Alleen nog als je de titel noemt.
Ja. Nou, zing even dat de mensen weten wat je gaat zingen.
Zo even. It is well with my soul. Het idee dat je kan zeggen, het is goed met mijn ziel. Daar moet je ook weer een hele weg voor doorgaan. Voordat je kan zeggen, het is goed met mijn ziel. Alleen ik weet dat als ik op 28 april sta te zingen met jullie, dan weet ik dat ik uit volle borst kan zingen, it is well with my soul.
Je maakt wel een statement, hè?
Ja.
Ja.
En dat is een heel mooi besef. Want dat punt van Jozef in de put zitten, heb ik ook gehad. Dat krijgt iedereen.
Wanneer heb jij in de put gezeten?
Dat was ook wel toen. Toen dat programma zat. Er waren heel veel dingen privé. Wat niet lekker liep. Wat ik vind van mezelf. Wat ik te veel had laten gaan. Snap je? Dat je of gewoon nog te jong om te beseffen wat je laat gaan. En wat je. Ik vind nu, en dat is nu ik 3 jaar verder ben, dat ik niet duidelijk genoeg keuzes maakte. En soms, weet je wel, een etterende wond of zo. En nu kan je zeggen, daar ben je dan uitgekrabbeld. En het gaat heel goed met me ook, met mijn werk. En dat werkt ook naar binnen toe. Dat je weet, oh, ik mag echt doen waarvoor ik gemaakt ben.
Zingen.
Ja, en dan zo groots.
Ja.
Dan is het besef van It Is Well With My Soul ook heel groot.
Ja.
En daarover kunnen zingen, dat is dus delen met andere mensen. Het kan dat het goed is met je ziel. Ja.
Wat ga je nog meer zingen? Op 28
april? Gentle Savior.
Jouw favoriet.
Ja.
Ja. Ja. Laten we ook nog even horen. Want ja, we willen gewoon de mensen alvast in de
ossie. Gentle Savior, lead me on. Let your spirit light my way. En ik begin ook dat stukje. Het besef dat je, zo zeg ik het altijd, hand in hand kan lopen met God.
Ja.
En hij verlicht mijn weg.
Ja.
Vind ik ook zo'n mooie.
Ja.
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 En het weten dat je niet alleen bent. Ja. Dat je altijd samen bent. Ja. En daarom hou ik er zo van.
Ja.
Omdat het voor mij het meest oprechte, het meest dichtbij is hoe ik kan zingen.
Ja.
Liedjes over God.
Je hebt een hele sterke band met jouw moeder, die jou helpt en coacht en begeleidt en Margriet. En over een maand is het moederdag, dus maar ik dacht, het is toch leuk om dit alvast aan jou te geven.
Nou, dat is leuk.
Kijk eens even.
Ja, heerlijk.
Ja, niet voor je moeder, hè?
Ja, niet voor mij.
Okay. Kun je eens even lezen wat erop staat?
Jesaja 40, vers 31. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Mooi.
Kan jouw droom werkelijkheid worden? We gaan zo meteen luisteren naar John Maxwell. Die kan daar prachtig over spreken.
Mm-hmm.
Je mag kiezen. Lees je liever of kijk je liever de DVD?
Dan neem ik die mee op mijn laptop. De DVD. Kies ik dat. Kan jouw droom werkelijkheid worden?
Okay.
Daar geloof ik heilig in.
Okay. Alle nieuwe donateurs krijgen ook die DVD.
Leuk.
Wij zien je 28 april bij Leven en Welzijn, zeg ik er altijd bij.
Ja.
En ik ben ongelooflijk blij dat je daar komt zingen. De belangstelling is ontzettend groot. Wat zeg je tegen jonge mensen die denken van, nou ja, moet ik nou wel komen?
Komen. Gewoon. Een prachtige avond wordt het met van alles erin.
Oké.
Okay. Ja.
Zo had ik het nooit kunnen zeggen.
Nee.
Hey, bedankt. En wij gaan aan u en jou vertellen hoe je 28 april die feestelijke avond kunt meemaken.
Of Power organiseert op 28 april een bijzonder voorjaarsconcert. Een hoogtepunt wat u niet wilt missen. Dit concert, met als thema Carried by Grace, gedragen door genade, bevat een groot aantal artiesten. Zo zullen Nita Whittaker, bekend uit de Crystal Cathedral, en Remco Harms, bekend van LA The Voices, prachtige hymns ten gehoor brengen. Ook de Psalm Project zal net als vorig jaar oktober weer aanwezig zijn. De muzici van Orkest L'Orchestra Particulare onder leiding van dirigent Marcel Koning maken het muzikale plaatje compleet. Als speciale gast zal Henk Binnendijk, een vertrouwd gezicht, spreken over ons jaarthema Het Beste Komt Nog. De presentatie van de avond is in handen van Jan van den Bos. Kom voor een muzikale en feestelijke avond op 28 april naar de Sint-Janskerk in Gouda. U bent van harte uitgenodigd. Voor kaartreservering kijk op www.hourofpower.nl of bel ons nu 035 538 0588.
Thank you.
Each year, John speaks to Fortune 500 companies, international government leaders, the NFL, ambassadors at the United Nations, and churches around the country. He was here a few months ago and agreed to come back, and I asked him if he could deliver 4 sermons that we could air on global television. And he agreed. So the message series that he's on is The Dream Journey of Joseph, based on his new book, Put Your Dream to the Test. Let's give a warm Crystal Cathedral welcome to somebody very special to me and to you, John Maxwell.
Good morning. What a delight to be here with you. I was in Washington, D.C. recently with some top-level executives, and I asked them 2 questions. Question number 1 is, do you have a dream? 100%, as you would imagine with this level of people, said, yes, I have a dream. And then I asked them the question, have you achieved your dream? 75% said, no, I have not yet achieved or accomplished that dream. For the last several years, I've wanted to write a book on helping people achieve their dreams because I believe you have one. How many of you in your lifetime have had a dream? Could I see your hands? We all have dreams. And yet many of us never achieve it. And so over the last several years, I've wanted to write a book that would help a person achieve their dream. And to be honest with you, I've been frustrated a couple of times in the attempts because I thought that the book was a little huffy and puffy. Didn't have substance. It wasn't solid. So recently, as I began my attempt for the book now that has just been released, Put Your Dream to the Test, I came to realize that the more valid reasons you have to accomplish your dream, the higher the odds are that you will. If you only have one reason to accomplish your dream, it's very possible that life will kind of get tough on you during the journey and you'll kind of back away from it. But if you and I have several valid reasons to achieve our dream, the odds are that we will. And that's from my book, Put Your Dream to the Test. And I would like to now go to Joseph, the greatest dreamer in the Bible. And I would like us to see how he put his dream to the test, just as you and I can, in his dream journey to go from a believer in the dream to a buyer of the dream. For you see, one of the 10 questions in my book is the ownership question. Is your dream really your dream? So let's look at it, and let's look at the life of Joseph, and let us watch him show us how to go from a believer to a buyer of our dream. Point number 1, don't let others talk you into your dream. We've had that happen, haven't we? We've had somebody else, maybe a family member, a very close friend, who wanted to see us be something or do something, and all of a sudden we kind of bought into their dream, not our dream, and so now we are beginning to pursue a dream that is not ours. I know that for a fact. When I was young and just getting into first grade, my parents thought that I had great music ability. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? If the parents don't think you have great abilities, your grandparents sure do. And they talked me into taking piano lessons. And so I started taking piano lessons in the first grade. And I kind of personally thought I was good also. Until about the first year, we had our piano recital. And a girl that had been taking lessons only 6 months, she was in the recital. She was a friend of mine. Her name was Elaine Mosley. And when I played my piece, I thought that was pretty good. And then when she got up and she played her piece, I looked at myself and I said to myself, this is not your gift. I went home and I shared with them I wanted to play basketball. And my parents said, okay, let's go for it. And they put a little ball court out by our house and I practiced. And when I was in the 5th grade and the 6th grade, our team went to the finals of the city. And I'll never forget the first time I went to the gym where I had seen the big boys play. While the other guys were out there practicing, I went over and sat at the same place I had watched them sit, and I closed my eyes, that's turning the lights out in the gym. And I called my name and I ran out to the center court. And it just felt so good. And I thought, this is what I love. This is my dream. You see, Joseph, as you go into chapter 37, he understood that this was his dream. It wasn't given to him by his father. It wasn't given to him by his brothers. In fact, three times it says Joseph had a dream. He owned it. It was his. And I would say to you today, in going from a believer to a buyer of your dream, the first thought is don't let others talk you into your dream. The second thought is don't let others talk you out of your dream. Because that happens, doesn't it? We have a dream and we kind of share it with others, and in the beginning stages that dream is quite vulnerable. And I think we probably have had all times where we would maybe share something we wanted to do, something we kind of felt in our heart, something that was kind of important to us, to have somebody walk into our life and say, oh, we don't think that's good. We don't think you can do that. We don't think that's possible in your life. In chapter 37, when Joseph told his father and his brothers about his dream, the Bible says his father reprimanded him. What's with all this dreaming? Am I and your mother and your brothers all supposed to bow down to you? Now, his brothers were really jealous, but his father brooded over the whole business. You see, as Joseph, a very young teenager, began to share his dream with his family, they began to try to talk him out of that dream. People sometimes who have never achieved, some people who have never realized their dream, and yet they try to talk us out of our dream and keep us from reaching and being what God really perhaps intended you or me to become. Don't let others talk you out of the dream. And thirdly, don't let others knock you out of your dream. Because in Genesis chapter 37, as Joseph came to his brothers, they spotted him off in the distance. And by the time he got there, they had cooked up a plot to kill him. And the brothers were saying, here comes the dreamer. Let's kill him and throw him in one of the old cisterns. We can say that a vicious animal ate him. And then we'll see what his dreams amount to. You see, to go from a believer to a buyer of your dream, you first of all, don't talk yourself out of the dream. You don't let others talk you out of the dream, but then there are times when people will try to literally knock you out of the dream, as they did Joseph. But here's the most important point this morning. Point number four, don't talk yourself out of your dream. If it's a dream that God has given you, I would encourage you to make it a part of your life. You see, the most important person that you'll listen to, the most important person that I'll listen to all day is me. And I want to make sure that I say the right things to myself. And that's true in Joseph's life. He would have been tempted at times to talk himself out of the dream, but he decided that he would pursue the dream that God had given to him. Let me share with you a story that involves Dr. Shuler. As a young pastor, Margaret and I, our first church was in southern Indiana, Hillham, Indiana. The first Sunday in our first service, there were only three people. And two of them were Margaret and me. There's an old lady who lived by the church whose name was Maud, and it was Maud, Margaret, and me. That was it. But we just absolutely fell in love with that little rural area. And of course, I had a dream to build a great church. And I didn't know how to build a great church. I grew up in a kind of a denomination that was just kind of non-progressive. In fact, their idea of progress was moving backwards slowly. And I said, if I can just get to great men, and if I can just get to great churches that have been built, and if I can ask questions, I know that they'll teach me how to build a church, because it was my dream. And so I got the list of the great churches in America and the pastors of these great churches. And I began to slowly talk to them or call them on the phone. And they didn't know who I was. I said, my name's John Maxwell. I have a little church, but I have a dream of building a great church. And I'll give you $100 if you'll give me 30 minutes of your time. Now, I was only making about $6,000. That was a lot of money. But I was so desperate to hear people who had already achieved their dreams so that I could learn how to do it. So I would slowly, over the next few years, I would go to these towns and I would sit down and I would talk to these leaders. And they would talk to me about how they have built their church. And I would take notes. And many times afterwards, they would lay hands on me and pray over me. And I would go out into the parking lot. And sometimes I would put my notes in the seat beside me. And I would just lay my head on the steering wheel. And I'd pray and I'd cry like a baby. And I'd say, God, if you did that for them, you can do that for me. If you help them build a church, you can help me build a church. Dr. Shirley, I have in my hands a book that I picked up in a bookstore in 1970. It's entitled Move Ahead with Possibility Thinking.
Oh, give me.
I picked this book up and I just devoured it. Every page. I tell you, my friends, millions of people in this world, millions, could say that this man helped them to realize and receive the dream that they had. So, Dr. Shuler, just this week, my newest book, Put Your Dream to the Test, has just been released. Here is my first copy of the book, Put Your Dream to the Test. God bless you.
John Maxwell. I'll tell you, I thought so much of this book, Put Your Dream to the Test. And where's the $100 bill? In here?
Hey, I'm surprised that he didn't ask it with interest, since that was 35 years ago. May God bless you as you realize your dream. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you his peace in your going out and in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come and stand before Jesus in that day which for you there will be no sunset, only eternal light and life forevermore. Happy Sunday. God bless.
Elke zondag spreekt Hour of Power weer vele duizenden kijkers aan met een positieve en inspirerende boodschap. Dit kunnen we alleen doen dankzij de donateurs die ons trouw steunen. Jezus zei, de oogst is groot, maar arbeiders zijn er weinig. Hour of Power vindt het belangrijk dat Gods liefde wordt verkondigd. Daarom hebben wij voor u wekelijks een inspirerende spreker. Zonder arbeiders geen oogst, zonder donateurs geen uitzending. Voelt u zich thuis bij Hour of Power en wilt u dat Hour of Power iedere week op de televisie te zien blijft? Zou u dan ook donateur willen worden? Wij verwelkomen u graag in onze kring. Al met een klein bedrag per maand levert u een structurele bijdrage aan onze missie. Als welkomstgeschenk sturen wij u de DVD-box Kan jouw droom werkelijkheid worden? Deze gloednieuwe DVD-box bevat 4 preken van John Maxwell vanuit de Crystal Cathedral over het thema dromen. Donateur worden kan via www.hourofpower.nl of vraag informatie aan via 035 538 0588. Alvast hartelijk dank. Ook het nieuwe boek van John Maxwell, Kan jouw droom werkelijkheid worden, kan vanaf nu besteld worden bij Hour of Power.
Een fantastische toespraak van dominee John Maxwell, die ons oproept om nooit je droom op te geven. En dat deed Jozef ook niet en hij is een enorm voorbeeld. Dat hebben we in deze uitzending gehoord. Iedereen heel hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken naar Hour of Power. En als je straks naar de kerk gaat, een fijne dienst, kun je niet naar de kerk omdat je ziek bent en thuis moet blijven of door ouderdom van harte sterkte toegewenst. We denken ook aan de mensen die nooit in de kerk komen en vinden het helemaal geweldig dat u week in, week uit naar onze programma's kijkt. Laat je droom bestaan. Volgende week hopen we als gast te hebben de kordate burgemeester van Zoetermeer, Jan Waaier. En natuurlijk ook heel veel muziek en de tweede toespraak over het leven van Jozef door John Maxwell. Bij leven en welzijn, tot volgende week.